shout in my Romanian voice. So good afternoon, everybody. Thank you, Anna and Ali, for the invitation. This work is actually on network communities. What do I mean by network communities? Currently, we have actually many nodes interconnected to each other, which are not, which are obedient nodes trying to transmit messages to each other. But we are moving to a new paradigm where nodes are interacting with each other. But these nodes are no longer just dumb, obedient machines, but rather they are learning agents. They could be people interacting with sophisticated software, interacting with sophisticated machines. So these machines interacting with each other are no longer going to be obedient and just accept to maximize the network utility. Rather, they are going to be interested in maximizing their own utility. So what our goal will be is to design network protocols that are socially optimal, but where we induce these self-interested agents to comply with a protocol prescribed by the protocol designer. And hence, we need to make it in the self-interest of the selfish agents to adhere and obey these protocols. The setup I'm going to consider is very simple. I'm going to give an example, which you could think about it as being a knowledge network where I'm exchanging with where I'm exchanging with, I'm exchanging messages or knowledge with each other. So don't think P2P multimedia, because this is not something like that. This is just a network of users which want to exchange with each other some information, some file, or some knowledge, or some resource. I'm going to assume a very simple model where the network connectivity can be anything, so anybody can connect with anybody. At any moment in time, an agent could be both a server as well as a client. Thank you. And hence, any user can be involved in any moment in time as both a server as a client. So I'm going to model this in the following way. I'm going to assume that I have a client which can request a file or some form of service, a server which receives an upload request. And I'm going to assume that I can model this as shown in here, and I'm going to call this a gift-giving game. So I'm going to assume that the client has no action. He just requested some content. And the server has an action. He can choose to serve and provide the service to the client or not to serve. I'm going to assume that if the server decided to serve, the client will get a benefit of B, and otherwise, if the server didn't decide to serve, it will get a benefit of zero. So clearly, the client has a benefit from being served by the server. The server, on the other hand, incurs a cost of C, so hence the utility will be minus C, and in the case he doesn't serve, the cost will be zero. So if this would be a one-shot interaction, a one-time interaction, there will be no incentive for the server to obey, to serve, and hence he would like to not serve and free ride. So what is important in this context is to try to bring some form of incentives to convince the users to serve each other. And that is the goal of the protocol designer, let's call it, or the network designer. There are many ways to implement incentives in networks. The most studied in the area of engineering are personal reciprocation. For example, in P2P networks, people assume a history of past reciprocation with other users. However, in the current environment, we consider that is not a good model because I may not have a history of past reciprocation with a particular person. So I know a couple of you in the audience, but the majority of you I don't know. However, I may be interested in getting some content from you, and you may be interested in getting some content from somebody else. But because of that asymmetry of interests, as well as the network being dynamic and users coming and going, I may not be able to have a history of your particular personal history of reciprocation. Hence, in such situations, we use social reciprocation. And these social reciprocation schemes are often based on reputation. I'm going to discuss that in a little bit. So what we are going to assume is we are going to implement this social reciprocation in a rigorous way as follows. I'm going to assume that the protocol designer will try to design a social norm. And he's going to do that by introducing the following elements. First, he is going to assign to every peer or every agent a set of reputation labels, L. The number L will be part of the design. Then A peer can adopt a strategy whether given a particular reputation label he sees for the client with whom he interacts, he can decide to serve or not to serve. Then the protocol designer can design a social norm as follows. He can select the set of reputation labels. He can determine the social strategy, what he would like to see as interactions emerging. So given the reputation of the server and the reputation of the client, he will prescribe a particular strategy to serve or not to serve. And if the agent was obedient, its reputation will be increased. Otherwise, it will be decreased. Note, though, that we deal with selfish agents here, so they may decide that it's not in their self-interest to follow the social norm. So I'm going to assume one more thing. I'm going to assume that even though maybe somebody comply with the social norm, there may be errors, either reporting errors or something has happened, and I may not know, I may not correctly update this reputation. Let me give an example of a social norm I'm going to use in this talk. I'm having two scenarios. I'm going to have a scenario, I'm going to consider a threshold-based social strategy, which has a service threshold age. If the server has a threshold below age and the client has a reputation above age, I'm going to assume always that they will serve. So if one condition or another happens, they will serve. On the other hand, they are not going to serve if the server has a reputation that is higher than that of the client. And given this type of threshold-based social strategy, I can have much more sophisticated social strategies. I gave a talk earlier today which considers more sophisticated strategies, but that makes the analysis more difficult. So here I'm considering just a simple strategy. If the users are going to follow the social strategy, the reputation is going to increase, and I'm going to assume a maximum punishment reputation scheme. If at any moment in time somebody doesn't obey, it's going to be punished all the way to reputation zero. So hence, the user has an ability to decide, does he want to follow this type of threshold-based scheme? So what is he doing its optimization on? So the knowledge will be its own reputation label, the reputation distribution of the community, which I'm going to consider, I'm going to call as community configuration, and also the opponent of configuration. You may wonder how this information is known. Well, this information could be known maybe if there is a tracker. You can come up with distributed versions of it, but they are more complicated to really formalize and come up with really proofs and theorems on this. Also, I'm going to introduce a simple belief that users are going to hold. So the users are going to assume that users that are at reputation zero will, higher than zero, will follow the social norm, and if they are at reputation zero, they do not provide any service. Now, in order to determine whether a user should follow the social strategy or not, I need to determine not only the short-term utility of the user, but also the long-term utility of the user. So a user, given the community configuration and the specified social norm, he can decide, should I deviate or not? And he does that based on its performance in the long term. If it would be just one-shot utility, we already decided nobody will comply. Everybody will free ride. So this is the problem that the user needs to solve. So he needs to decide, actually, what will be its best response at every period in time that maximizes its long-term utility. So he needs to select the strategy sigma, which is leading to the optimal long-term utility. Now let's look from a system point of view what we would like to have. So from a system point of view, what we would like to have is we would like to have, and let me go back to this first. So we would like to have a protocol that is socially optimal. So what we would like is that this protocol designer selects the social norm. The social norm is formed one more time by the set of reputation labels, the reputation update scheme, and the social strategy. So it needs to select these parameters such that the community arrives at a unique stochastically stable equilibrium. The reason I want to have something like that is if I don't have a unique equilibrium, the community may converge at different moment, at different types of configurations, some of which may be inefficient. And in particular, I would like that this unique equilibrium, which I'm going to define in just 1 second,
is cooperative. So in this unique equilibrium, everybody will cooperate with each other. What is the stochastically stable equilibrium? It's a quite complicated concept. You either know it already, or this will be kind of a very small summary of it. But the idea here is that I have a strategy profile sigma together with a community configuration mu. And this will be a stochastically stable equilibrium if and only if, when the errors, these update errors of reputation go to zero, sigma is the best response of the users against the overall population configuration. And this mu is time invariant and is the best response dynamic induced by this particular sigma. And more than that, that the community stays at mu with a positive probability. Okay. Now, let me look. So this is a protocol designer problem. I'm going to go back to it all the way at the end. For now, let me concentrate on the users. And in order for this, again, to be a stochastically stable equilibrium, the best response dynamic will need to indeed converge to this unique stable equilibrium. In order for the user to solve this best response dynamic, they need to solve an MDP. You are all familiar with MDP. The only thing I want to point out here is that we consider in this MDP that the state is the reputation of the user and the configuration of the opponents, given the reputation of the users. So based on this, we formalize the value function such that we can do the best response dynamic. And we want to now look at, given this best response dynamic, what are the structural properties of this best response dynamic? And the first result we have, which is very important, is that the solution of the previous MDP problem in this type of social norm governed community is a threshold-based strategy. This is the optimal strategy. So what it means is actually that given the configuration of the client with which I'm interacting, I'm going to have a threshold age. Above this threshold, I'm going to serve the users, and below, I'm not. Therefore, in order to determine the optimal policy, we can only, it's sufficient to determine the optimal threshold at every state. Yeah, so the optimal service threshold at each state. Hence, I can reformulate this MDP. And if I do that based on this information structural result, I can come up with one more result, also some form of structure, which says that this threshold-based optimal policy has the following property. I will never want to serve somebody above the social norm. So if the social norm tells me go to serve people above reputation 5, I will never go and serve somebody at reputation 4. That's the first thing. Another is that the service a user provides monotonically increases with its reputation. You can think about that as somebody increasing their reputation above a certain threshold or above, as the reputation increases, you don't want to gain the status you have in the system. It becomes increasingly detrimental for you to cheat. Now let's look, given this type of structural properties, how does the community evolve? Because we would like to solve this from a protocol designer point of view. So the first thing is we can prove that the community evolves following a Markov chain under this best response dynamic of the user. And each state of the Markov chain is a community configuration. Moreover, what we can show is that this Markov chain preserves the following properties. There exists a stationary distribution. We have stability and ergodicity. And I need all of that just to be able to define a limiting configuration distribution, which I'm going to call it omega hat, to which the community will converge to as these errors, reputation errors, tend towards zero. So hence, a configuration is stochastically stable when its probability in omega star, omega hat, omega bar, I should say, is larger than zero. That's when I'm going to say that the configuration is stochastically stable. Given that, what I can prove in terms of convergence of the community is the following. First is that the limiting configuration distribution is unique. Hence, the community converges to a limited set of configurations in the long run. So I need to study only a very small set of configurations. And this is very good because otherwise the design space will explode. A second theorem says that the set of stochastically stable configuration and the set of configuration belonging to this stochastically stable equilibrium are the same. What does that really mean? It means that we can analyze only the stochastically stable equilibria. We can easily analyze the stochastically stable equilibria by analyzing the set of stochastically stable configurations. Okay, so I can have a way to characterize this convergence of the community. What do I want to do about it? When do I want to do the design now? First, we can characterize the limiting set of these stochastically stable configurations. And if we do that, we have a first theorem which says almost everything in this network will converge either to zero, which means never cooperate, everybody is free riding, or always cooperate. Everything in the middle, from 1 to L minus 1, it's not going to be represented. So either everybody serves or nobody serves. Hence, the question becomes for the protocol designer, how should he design this type of interaction between users? How should he determine the social strategy, the reputation, update rule, and the set of reputation to let users choose the cooperative outcome rather than the defective outcome? For that, what he needs to do is to set the threshold in the social strategy depending on the parameters of the community. And he needs to select it in such a way in which, depending on the cost over benefit ratio, as well as the discount factor of the utility of the users, this threshold is smaller than this value. So the design becomes mainly focused on this age. What does that really mean and what does this bias? Let's look at an illustrative result. What I show in here is the following thing. First, I show that how the social welfare varies for a community as the cost increases, as the cost of service increases. I assume a particular network with the following parameters, and what I want to show is the following. First, let's look at the blue lines. What you see with the blue lines is the optimal cooperation. This is something like network utility maximization would do. If I have selfless users, obedient users, they will always cooperate, they will always fulfill the protocol, and this is the best I can do. The reason it goes down is because the cost increases. So even users cooperate, the cost increases as well. Hence, what I want to show here is if you have obedient users, everything goes fine. On the other hand, if I need to determine the optimal protocol, which is sustainable, meaning the optimal protocol which is obeyed by these self-interested users, what I'm getting is these green bars in here. So what you see is that with our design, two things happen. First, if the cost becomes too high, nobody will want to cooperate. The network will collapse. You cannot oblige the self-interested users to incur these high costs relative to the benefit. A second thing is you can see that as the cost increases, you are starting to have gaps. The reason you have this gap with, as opposed to the optimal cooperation is because you have a trade-off between one hand optimality versus incentives. So in order to make this protocol sustainable, you need to give up something in terms of performance. Then you may say, well, this optimization is very nasty and very difficult. Why would I go after this very difficult, complicated optimization problem? Can I not just choose a particular fixed social strategy using a particular threshold which makes sense? If you do that, you'll see the result in red. So what you will see is first, the network community will collapse much faster because of the cost increasing and this strategy being chosen randomly. Also, you will see that as the cost increases, the gap to the optimal cooperation will increase. So what we take away from here is two messages, and this will be the last thing. I'm not even going to show the conclusion. The last thing I'd like you to see is that you cannot talk here about network utility optimization. You need to talk about sustainable network utility optimization because the NUM-type problems cannot be really usefully used in this type of environment where users are selfish. And secondly, if you want to go ahead and just do something ad hoc, like a lot of the literature currently in engineering is trying to do, to develop social strategies and policies for reputation update that are ad hoc, your performance will suffer a lot. Thank you very much. Yes?
I have a question. So here you have one server and multiple nodes.
No. I have everybody of us has some information, some knowledge, let's say, and we exchange it with each other. So I may exchange it with you, you may exchange it with Anna, Anna may exchange it with Vikram, and so on and so on. No. So what happens in here is because we don't have the history of past reciprocation, what I have is I have a global history, your history in the network. So you don't have a personal history with me. That's, I think, the beauty of this work. So in a network with which I interact with you all the time, this will not be the right model. But in a network which is dynamic, users come and go, and the users have interest in different things, I will not have the occasion to necessarily have met you before and build a history with you. So this reputation is a global level of reputation. After every interaction, you will have a different reputation. Of course, you can come up with a reputation scheme where maybe we are part of a club, the signal processing club, and we should behave in a signal processing club, but when we move to the information theory club, we don't need to behave because we don't meet these people very often. That could be extended to that. Thank you.